can't be Denver County. Last time we played Denver, they scored 7 times.
Haven't you guys ever seen these movies? We're just supposed to rally together, believe in ourselves, and we win in the end.
In the movies, they always go out and find a kid who's really good to join the team.
Hey, that's right. We need a ringer.
We need a Canadian.
Unapologetically Canadian, you're listening to The Hockey Show on 101.5 UMFM.
Ladies and gentlemen, may I have your attention, please? Good evening.
And the eyes on you.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to The Hockey Show here on 101.5 UMFM, Canada's only campus-produced radio show that strictly talks hockey. Glad to have everybody with us here tonight as we get set for another big show, another fun show, another crazy show where we go deep into the topics of, on the ice and certainly around this country anyway this time. Jason, how are you?
I'm doing pretty good.
Good, good to hear. Yeah. Song you're hearing in the background, Hotel Mira. You might not know these guys very well, but they were previously known as Japanese Girls. They're a Canadian alternative rock and roll band formed in Vancouver in 2010. Prior to 2010, Japanese Girls was known as The Beauties, but due to a name conflict with an existing band, the group changed its name to Japanese Girls. This was chosen as a tribute to another band they admired, an all-female Japanese indie group called Mass of the Fermenting Dregs. However, upon realizing that the name caused difficulty when searching for the band online, they switched to using the disemvoweling JPNSGRLS. That's how they were referred to themselves for a while. Japanese Girls was nominated for SiriusXM Canada's Independent Music Award and Emerging Artist of the Year, in 2015, April 2015. And in 2018, lead singer Charlie Kerr announced the name of the band would switch to Hotel Mira. Reason we're talking about these guys tonight is they are here in Winnipeg tomorrow. They're playing the West End Cultural Center.
Okay.
So coming through the town as we get everything sort of going, West End Cultural Center, a good partner of UMFM, obviously, and you can get tickets to catch these guys tomorrow through their website, wecc.ca, westendculturalcenter.ca. So
nice.
There's the tie-in as we get that done. Oh. So good for that. That set up in terms of, I didn't actually announce the name of the song. The song is called The Eyes on You and might be kind of an important sort of setup here because there's going to be a lot of eyes on Canadian university hockey over the next 2 weeks.
Oh, definitely.
As Jason and I get into
this. If there hasn't been already.
Well, there hasn't. I mean, we haven't talked about it. I'm just going to fade them out. We haven't had a chatted about them as often as we normally do. Mostly because, well, the men's team wasn't anything to talk about very, very often. And the women's team just kind of got into the playoffs by the skin of their teeth. But at the end of the day, there's still going to be some good stuff going on. Still going to be a lot of awesome hockey going on because we're in the middle of, like, the final rounds of the playoffs, if not into qualifying for nationals.
Yeah.
So we're going to go through all of this, and we're going to talk about all of this for each of the conferences and who's going where and who still has a chance, who has an opportunity to get in. So it's an all-U sports episode, folks. If you're into the U sports hockey, and you're going to be, because, again, you can watch this for free. Nationals will be offered for free on the CBC options, CBC online streaming options.
Yeah.
You can go and watch any of these games that you want. If you want to see some of these players, you want to hear about some of these players, you want to know some of these players, that's where you're going to go to see some of the stuff.
Yeah, and, well, with these final playoff series and the conferences, you can also, if you're watching the OUA, AUS, RSEC, you can watch those as well.
AUS has been charging for their semifinals and finals, so they're out.
Oh.
The RSEC hasn't been charging, but you have to go to each individual team's website in order to get the actual game, except for Bishops, who actually uses an online portal to do that. OUA has been free the whole time. So OUA is the only one that's basically offering it. RSEC is also offering it, but the RSEC is only for women's hockey, which we'll get into in a second. But anyway. We're going to start on the men's side because the men's side has some fun stuff going on and some crazy stuff going on, but not crazy as in like outstanding crazy, but crazy as in like, I can't believe this is actually happening. But We're going to start on the West Coast because Canada West men's hockey is basically down to two teams. The surprise of possibly no one, the top two teams in Canada West men's hockey will battle to decide who gets the higher seed in Toronto when they go to Nationals. Both teams have qualified to play at Nationals by reaching the Canada West Finals, so now it's more of a bragging rights thing, mm-hmm. a Canada West banner thing, and a higher seeding on the line for whichever team is victorious this weekend. Yeah. Which two teams are we talking about? Jason, you were very, very, I'm going to say, understanding of these two teams. I don't want to say you're a fan of, by any means, because that's not really the right thing, but UBC Thunderbirds and the Calgary Dinos.
Yes, exactly. These are two fantastic teams, right? Like, if we cast our minds back a year, Calgary had that amazing run towards the playoffs and, you know, didn't quite translate that into success at Nationals, but they still had a fantastic run. Basically the same team came back this year. They are fantastic offensively. They really push you around, but the team that really pushes you around is UBC. For a really long time, they've been very gritty, very tough to play against. It's not fun when you're playing the Thunderbirds.
They did something this year that hasn't been done since 1963.
Which is?
Again, we'll talk about that coming up.
So. But both teams are just absolutely fantastic, going kind of battling for that top spot. UBC kind of had the measure of Calgary throughout, you know, standings-wise throughout the year. But it's too... We talk about it during the Bison's broadcast. It's like it's a conference of haves and have-nots. You have, you know, leading into the you basically have five teams that are incredibly dominant that soak up all the points, and it's that final playoff team that kind of it's the battle of who gets what's left to get that final playoff spot. And this time around it was McEwen that got that final playoff spot, but, very top heavy conference and two just unbelievable teams.
So here's how they got there. UBC downed the Alberta Golden Bears 2-1 in their semifinal series, with UBC winning the final two games after dropping the first game. Sam Huo leads the team with 4 goals, while he and Sasha Mutala have, lead the team with 5 points apiece. Mm-hmm. Again, no denying that they have an outstanding offensive ability in terms of those two players and a few more. Cole Schwebus, though, has been outstanding as well. He's allowed 6 goals in 3 games against Alberta, and he's sporting a handsome 908 save percentage so far in the playoffs. Your thoughts on UBC's weapons in terms of what they bring?
I mean, offensively, they're a great team. They're a team that can roll 4 lines. Like, it was watching them play the Bisons, it's kind of like they come at you in waves. I remember, you know, talking about it as it's kind of like the Vegas Golden Knights are under Gerard Gallant, where it's like it doesn't matter what line is out there. They're going to be pressuring you. They're going to be pushing you. And then you do get the puck into their zone, and you've got Cole Schwebus standing there staring you down. And he's probably going to stop you 9 times out of 10.
According to his save percentage, that's true.
Yeah, exactly. big math guys. I think, you know, it is a team that I think a few years ago, like, you know, that year that got wiped out because of COVID, there was a lot of questions of like, oh, is this legit?
Yeah.
You know, beating Alberta, getting to Nationals, didn't really get to go on that journey that they really earned.
Right.
And beat a really good Alberta team that year. But they really, coming out of that, and now that things have normalized, them and Calgary have both just found another gear when it comes to the way that they play.
So the Calgary Dinos are going to look to knock off the first place Thunderbirds off their pedestal after finishing just 2 points back of UBC this season. Calgary swept the Mount Royal Cougars to advance to the Canada West Final. Coulson is I'm hoping I'm going to pronounce this right. Is it Gengenbach?
Gengenbach.
Okay, I just want to make sure because I was like,
incredible
those
player.
Those GEs are always they could be J or G. So Coulson Gengenbach leads with 2 goals and 3 points, but 4 more players for the Dinos have 2 points apiece. Again, Carl Tedichuk, nothing to surprise anybody with here. He's allowed 5 goals over 2 games for MRU. He comes into the final with an .894 save percentage, which is a little lower than what you might see. But I'm gonna preface that by saying Mount Royal is an absolute terror offensively.
Exactly. I mean, they have some incredible offensive. Like, their top two lines are just world beaters.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
And it's been something that they've...
You're going to hear about that in the awards section. We're going to talk about that. Yeah.
But that's something that has been, for the last few years, like they've basically gone like almost 1-2-3 in terms of the top scorers in Canada West year after year, because they've had that incredible top-end talent. You think of your Remco, Sawchuk.
Yeah.
You've got the weapons there. And I was wondering, like, are they going to keep that going coming into this year? And they clearly have.
Yeah.
So it take nothing away from Karl Tetychuk. It's just that's what Mount Royal does.
Yeah.
It's the other side of the puck where they have some issues.
They will shred you hard defensively, yes. But the defensive side of it might not be so great.
And the thing is, Calgary will shred you on the back.
Defensively,
on the return.
Yeah.
Like, they will stop you defensively. They will not let you pass their blue line.
Right.
For the most part. And on the counterattack, you mentioned Colson Gangan back. Like,
yeah.
He's got incredible bursts of speed that allow him to beat defenders. There's a few guys on the team that can do it. But they've got, like, massive defenders, big, strong goaltender, and then guys that can burn you. Like, you're going to, if you don't get your defensive house in order, they're going to make you pay.
So Calgary and UBC split 4-1 decisions in Calgary on November 24th and 25th in their only two meetings this season.
Mm-hmm.
Again, how is that? I know how it's possible, but
really,
we need to see more of this. So this series is going to deliver that. This whole series is going to basically, in effect, determine Canada West's best men's hockey team this season. Again, points go out the window in the playoffs. I want to see who's going to end up being best between this this powerful UBC team that seems to be good in all facets versus this Dinos team that has no problem punching people in the mouth.
Yes, exactly.
So we'll see what happens at that point. I'm going to do the awards before we move on, just because I think those need to be mentioned. And certainly for Canada West, we're always proud of some of these players that come out. Student Athlete Community Service Award. I know, Jason, you haven't seen these yet. So Student Athlete Community Service Award went to Saskatchewan Huskies forward Dalton Holt. Now, Holt, again, people are going to go, well, like, who is he? What did he do? Holt scored 22 points in 28 games this season, but off the ice is where this man is making an impression. Holt has been the Husky Athletic Council president for the last 3 years. He's been an advisor to the chief athletics officer and the university senior administration. He does school visits, he collects donations for the Jim Pattison Children's Hospital, and he helps in creating Christmas hampers for families in need. When he's not at school, you can find him volunteering at the Jim Pattison Children's Hospital, where he spends free time with the kids in the Children's Hospital 3 hours per week. He's also helped organize and volunteer a pancake breakfast for kids sport, and he acted as an ambassador for Hockey Gives Blood.
Yeah.
Dude is doing everything possible. That's awesome.
You know, really embodying what athletes should be in terms of being role models and giving back in the community. And it's something that, to me, it's a very Saskatchewan thing. Like, that's a very community-minded place in terms of the people that live there. And the Huskies do a great job of getting it, always being involved in different initiatives, but getting their players involved is something that they do a fantastic job
of. And both the men and the women do a lot of work with the Children's Hospital. So, I mean, that's always nice to see. But here's the 1963 mark. Coach of the Year went to UBC Thunderbirds head coach Sven Butenschon.
Mm-hmm.
He led UBC to the top of the division in the regular season for the first time since 1963.
Whew.
UBC has not finished atop the standings in over 50 years.
Yeah.
Like, that's crazy. Well, 60 years, I guess.
Yeah.
That's crazy.
But you look at the breakdown of, like, how...
Oh, I mean...
Like, it is... If you...
Golden
anybody,
Bears, yeah.
Yeah. Anybody who's wondering at home, go look at the Canada West Championships, like, going back. It's literally just... Golden Bears interspersed with a little bit of Huskies, and then there's a Pronghorns and a Dinos in there.
Yeah, there's very few misses by the Golden Bears at that point. Also under Butenschon, the T-Birds set new program records this season with wins in 22, or with 22, excuse me, points with 46, and they led the conference with 126 goals while having the top power play at 23.6% and the top penalty kill at 89.1%.
God, so their special teams was so good.
They were the tops basically in every statistical category, which was incredible. So Sven Butenschon kind of deserves that. Canada West Men's Hockey Sportsmanship and Ability Award. Again, this is more like the Lady Bing Award in terms of what you get. Mount Royal Cougars defenseman Connor Blake won it. So
nice.
Connor Blake earned it. Blake recorded 30 points in 28 games this season for the Cougars. He was only whistled for four minor penalties all season. Mm-hmm. So dude plays at a high level. He also served as the captain of the Cougars this season as well. We should mention that. Dude plays at a high level, though, and he earned that trophy by only taking four penalties. So eight minutes total.
And that's a hard thing to do. Like,
as a defenseman?
Yeah, it's a very underratedly hard thing to do, because it's very, and I know I talk about it, you know, Evan and I talk about it on the broadcast all the time. It's like every guy's going to take a penalty. You're going to reach a little bit. You're going to get caught flat-footed. You're going to be tired at the end of a shift, and you're going to make a mistake. You're going to reach a little bit when you shouldn't. But he will go out there, pile up the minutes, and be used in every situation, but never seems to, you know, you can avoid it by, you know, letting things happen and avoiding situations where you might take a penalty. He does not avoid anything. He was always in it.
He was recognized for it this year, so congratulations to him. Rookie of the Year, this might surprise you. I hadn't heard of him until I'd heard of him, but I hadn't heard of his name being mentioned as possible Rookie of the Year until they announced it. But Calgary Dinos forward Jake Poole earned Rookie of the Year. Poole scored the third most goals in the conference with 17 and led all rookies in goals and points with 26. The Macaulay Manitoba native is the eighth Dinos player to be named as Rookie of the Year, and he was one of just three Calgary players to appear in all 28 regular season games.
Mm-hmm. And that is very much indicative of the way that Calgary plays, right? You can slot a player, a very promising player in Jake Poole in there, and immediately he's going to succeed. And it also is a testament to bringing in a guy like that. The offensive skill that he has, I think, is just dynamite. And you're going to say something?
Well, no, I was going to, the next three awards, you're going to probably, there will be a few eyebrows raised, I think.
Yeah. But, okay. But yeah.
Finish your thought on Poole. I was just reading the notes that I put here, and I was like, what did we just say about this team?
Yeah.
So go.
He's just a fantastic player, and it was really, he wasn't like super involved when he was here, when they were here playing in Manitoba, but he is, it's visible, right? Like, he's kind of one of those guys
eight goals in the first half, 9 goals in the second half.
Yeah.
He went on a bit of a tear in the second half.
Yeah. He's one of those guys, when he touches the puck, you just know that he's dangerous.
Yeah. Yeah.
And draws a lot of attention, but
and
that also frees up his teammates.
And a big kid, too. Like,
yeah.
He's 6 foot three or whatever in terms of his height. And you go, where are they finding these kids? Like, what's going on?
In Manitoba.
Apparently, Macaulay, Manitoba. Goalie of the Year. Now, again, it's hard to argue with a number of the Goalie of the Year, the past winners that went on.
Yeah.
You might argue with this one, but I'm not sure that it has to be argued, because Mount Royal Cougars netminder Shane Farkas is the recipient of Goaltender of the Year this year. Farkas led Canada West with 18 wins while picking up a conference-leading 4 shutouts. His .918 save percentage was second-highest mark among qualified Canada West goalies, and he finished the season with a .221 goals against average. Jason, I can see in your face you're somewhat puzzled as to why somebody else didn't get it.
I'm honestly shocked.
Okay.
So coming into this season and coming into the last few seasons, the knock on Mount Royal has been that they're very top heavy. They kind of had like 1.5 lines. Now this year they had 2 lines. And if those lines get shut down, what happens? Because the depth scoring has been an issue in the past. But the problem has been their goaltending kind of, they platooned their goaltenders a lot. But no, it was kind of just like who grabs the seat in camp and then just takes it from there. Honestly, like, okay, well, you've got Ethan Kruger there.
You have Carl
Tedichuk there,
right,
who should have swept the awards last year.
Cole Schwebus
is the other one. Like, you've got Roddy Ross out in Saskatchewan. Like, you've got some fantastic goaltenders. But I think you should, like, you really didn't have to look much further than, like, it feels like one of those situations where they picked.
It's just a stats pick.
Exactly. It's exactly just a stats pick.
Okay, so hold on. Before you get angry then, here's the next one. Defenseman of the Year went to Mount Royal Cougars defenseman Clay Hannes.
Why?
Hannes led all Canada West defensemen with 36 points, which had him third overall in Canada West scoring. His 6 goals and 10 assists on the power play were among the best in the categories for a defenseman as well.
I'm sorry. I didn't know that top defenseman was a points stat or a points-based award.
Defenseman of the Year went to the highest-scoring defender in the conference, but yeah.
You literally had, like, his teammate. Connor Blake is right there.
No, he already won an award. We can't give out.
Oh, my.
But you'll see,
and you have Jake Lee in UBC.
I agree. I'm not disagreeing. That's where it went. So you had Farkas and Hannes after we already said that they're just a mess defensively. Next guy wins two awards: Player of the Year and Top Scorer.
That's not allowed.
Player of the Year and Top Scorer went obviously to Mount Royal Cougars forward Connor Bouchard. He led all of U Sports with 57 points and became the first Canada West player to hit 50 points since 2000-2001. The former Tri-City American star won the scoring race by an incredible 18 points, and he also led all of U Sports with 34 assists. Perhaps even more incredible was the 24-game point streak he put together this season.
That one I agree with.
Okay.
It's like they just picked, like, it's a good thing that Mount Royal just piles up points, because that's clearly how they're choosing these awards.
Again, that's
but Connor Bouchard, I will agree, he deserves that award, because that man eviscerated the conference this year.
And that's the thing, is that I can agree with that one as Player of the Year.
Yeah.
But the other two, we were, like I said, when I was looking at my notes, I was like, wait a minute, didn't we just say they're not so good defensively? And
you have literally the team finished first. You have Jake Lee right there. It's hard to miss him. He's really big.
Yeah, he's a very good defender. You're going to notice him a lot if you watch those games this weekend, folks. So we get past the awards. I want to get to the other, because we don't have much time left. I didn't realize we already plowed through like 20 minutes of time here. Let's get to the OUA quickly. As you may know, the OUA is divided into two distinct divisions, with an OUA East and an OUA West in the OUA men's hockey. In the East, two teams still stand. The McGill Redbirds and the UQTR Patriots are battling for a berth in the Queen's Cup final. UQTR holds a 1-0 series lead in that best-of-three semifinal, as they won by a 4-2 score last night. Game 2 goes in Trois-Rivières tomorrow. Félix LaFrance leads the way for UQTR in scoring. He has 5 points. Which has tied him 6th in OUA scoring. William Rouleau leads the way for McGill. He has 6 points, which ties him for 3rd in OUA scoring. Alex Gravel doing his thing again in the net, as he has a 145 goals against average and a 945 save percentage to go along with a 3-1-0 record. Alex Schenk for McGill, not as impressive, but again, the netminder sports a 268 goals against average and a 910 save percentage. Statistically speaking, Gravel is 2nd in the GAA and first in the save percentage in terms of what's going on in the OUA East there, or in the OUA overall. UQTR holds the season edge over McGill with a 3-1-0 record. In those games, UQTR outscored McGill 23-13, including an 11-5 win on November 8th.
Yeah. Well, that's just indicative of UQTR. Like, they were tops of the conference in goals for, tops of the conference in goals against. They had a very good record. They were 21-7. They're second in the nation in terms of the rankings. They have arguably the best goaltender in the conference. There's a little bit of a debate.
He went to NHL camps last year, so let's be honest. He's going to be pretty good.
He's good, but, you know, Frankie LaPenna is up there.
Yeah.
He's not in the playoffs anymore because UQTR beat Ottawa last round.
Exactly.
So, like, I mean, we know that all four of these teams are going to Nationals already, but I think at this point, it is UQTR's back-to-back to lose.
Okay, so that's good. So you're going to pick UQ. I was going to say, who are you picking in this one? But UQTR seems to be the player.
McGill is, like, they could put the puck at the back of the net. I don't know about keeping it out of their net.
Wow.
Particularly when you're playing UQTR, but
again, Shank's 268 goals against average is one of the higher ones. It's fourth best in the conference right now, but it's only because everybody else got blown out.
Teams left.
Over in the OUA West, the TMU Bold, the host of this year's men's tournament, square off against the Brock Badgers as the two teams from the West Division tangle. Game 1 goes tonight in St. Catharines at 6 p.m. Eastern. Game 2 is in Toronto on Saturday. Game 3 is going to be played in St. Catharines if necessary. Kyle Bowlers and a Coyotes draft pick, Artem Duda, lead TMU in scoring.
I forgot he was there.
Artem Duda, lead TMU in scoring with 2 goals, 2 assists each. Jacob Roach had a goal and 3 assists for Brock in the 2 playoff games they've played so far. Goaltender Kai Edmonds, though, has been the story for TMU, as he's allowed just 1 goal in each quarterfinal game against Laurier, sporting a 1.00 goals against average and a 935 save percentage coming into the series. Mm-hmm. Brock netminder Connor Unger has helped the Badgers get by Windsor, as he sports a 158 goals against average and a 945 save percentage coming into this semifinal series. These two teams enter the series with 1-1-0 records, as Brock beat TMU 6-3 on November 24th, while TMU returned the favor by beating Brock 3-2 at home later in December.
I think, so this is a very strange one, right? Like, we could talk about the U Sports rankings being just
well, they're all over
absolute
the map,
garbage. Because this is an unranked team in Brock playing the 10th ranked team in TMU, both of them going to nationals.
Right.
Go figure. My concern with Brock is that Unger made the second most saves in the conference.
I agree that it's a problem, but I also think that, again, if you're a goaltender, you want that. Like, that keeps your focus,
yes, but
right?
At what point is it too much?
But that's the question, right?
Like, if you go up against either of McGill or UQTR in the final, probably UQTR, knock on wood, but that's not that defensive. That tells me you're giving up a lot of shots. If you're winning games, but your goaltender has made the second most saves in the conference, then that tells me you're giving up a heck of a lot of shots.
I don't disagree. I think I'm with you, though. UQTR is going to come out of this as the victor, and I think they're going to end up beating, and I hate to say it, I think they're going to end up beating TMU in the final.
I totally agree with that.
Okay.
I don't know if Brock can beat
I don't know
TMU
if Brock
right
has
now.
Enough offense to beat TMU. That's the thing. And
that's
TMU and Kai, again, I'm not taking anything away from Brock in terms of how they play, but Kai Edmonds is just a phenomenal goalie, so let's give it to him. AUS men's hockey now. So again, we get to the third conference in men's hockey. AUS final begins on Saturday as the juggernaut UNB Reds, who still have not lost this season and now sit at a combined 33-0 in the regular season and playoff wins, 37-0 if you count their exhibition record as well. They'll host the second-place Moncton Aigle Bleu in Game 1. Game 2 goes Tuesday, and if some miracle, Game 3 is necessary, it will be played on Thursday, March 7th, back in Fredericton. Both teams have already qualified for nationals as they've advanced to the final, so this is more about trying to find a weakness in UNB's formidable team.
You're literally going to take your lumps and learn if they've got a weakness you can exploit, because UNB...
there's a lot of stuff that needs to be said here.
Yes. They are, like, Moncton finished second in the conference with a 16-11-3 record.
Yeah.
UNB demolished that conference. They had a negative goal differential in Moncton.
Again, that, for a second place team having a negative goal differential, and I'll tell you why that happened. Again, I don't need to give you the season series record between these two teams. Again, UNB beat everybody. They beat everybody handily. But they played five times this season. Moncton went 0-4-1 against them, okay? Yeah. So they did pick up at least 1 point against them. That overtime loss came on November 3rd. So think about how far back that is.
Yeah.
November 3rd, they lost 4-3 in overtime. The catch, though, on this is that in the entirety of the series, Moncton was outscored 29-4. Which means the remaining four games were shutouts and or a one-goal game. In those three shutout games, the final scores totaled 21-0. They beat them 6-0, 7-0, 8-0 in those three games.
Oh my god!
This is less about winning a championship and more trying to stand in front of a speeding train.
You know what's funny? If you look at the goal differential for UNB this year, about a good chunk of that comes from just beating up on Moncton.
Yeah,
they were plus 125.
Right. So that's one-fifth of your goals.
Jeez.
So UNB was so confident in their squad that they played both goalies in their three-game sweep of St. Mary's in the semifinal.
That's just bullying.
It shouldn't surprise you. Griffin Outhouse has played two games. He has a 150 goals against average and a 938 save percentage. That's kind of ridiculous. Moncton netminder Olivier Adam is 3-0 in the playoffs, but he's posting a 2.0 goals against average and a 928 save percentage. Both of those are going to balloon nicely. Moncton's Olivier Luc Hache leads the way for Moncton as he has 3 goals and 2 assists. That'll put him third in the AUS scoring. UNB has 6 players tied at 4 points right now to lead their team. 6 players at 4 points. That's 24 points right there. Cale McCallum has 2 goals and 2 assists in the 3 games they've played. All 6 players are tied for 4th in AUS scoring. Again, this series is less about winning a championship and more about just figuring out if UNB has any weaknesses.
I'm gonna just tell you something right now.
No,
they don't.
They don't. No,
they don't.
Over. It's over. So, of the teams that are going, as we know, all teams have already checked in with who's going to be going to Toronto to play at the Maple Leaf Gardens in downtown at the Mattamy Athletic Center. Calgary and UBC will go from Canada West out in Ontario. All 4 teams are going to be going as UQTR, McGill, Brock, and TMU will all be there. TMU is the host. And out east in the Maritimes, obviously UNB and Moncton are going to be going there. I don't know if it's anybody, but it's Moncton and everybody, or not Moncton, excuse me, UNB and everybody else. And if there's
literally any, the only team that has a chance is UQTR.
Yeah, I was going to say, if there's any team that can take a run of them, it might be Gravel and UQTR.
Yeah.
But I don't see anybody beating them.
It reminds me of when the Golden Bears iced essentially an AHL lineup.
But that's the problem, though.
And beat up on Canada West.
You're not going to beat up, again, Gardner McDougal legitimately knows every trick in the book.
Yeah.
Like, the dude's won 900
games. The man's a Hall of Famer.
Dude's won 900 games. He knows what he's doing.
Like,
not played, not coach, won 900 games.
Exactly. That's incredible. Like, you don't go 30-0 and just decide, nah, I'm not going to win.
Oh, no, hold on. 37-0 this year.
37-0. Who did they play in their exhibition games?
I can look that up in a second.
Because I feel like it was, because knowing how Canada West exhibitions go, I'm assuming AUS has to be very similar. I feel like they beat up on at least one NCAA team.
Your exhibition games included. Let me just get the schedule up here. Here we are, schedule. I don't care about the playoffs. Let me go back to the regular season. We already know what they're doing in the playoffs. They're kicking the hell out of everybody.
At what point?
So they beat Carleton 5-2. They beat Ottawa 5-4. They beat TMU 7-3 and TMU 5-0.
So they were just like doing a little bit of tour of Ontario Quebec just to see, like, okay, who could we possibly play? Okay, we're going to beat them.
Who legitimately? So again,
one of them is going to Nationals.
They're averaging 5.73 goals per game this season.
Oh my God.
Averaging 5.7 goals per game. They average 42.4 shots per game.
That's unfair.
That's ridiculous.
At what point does the rest of the conference just say it's over?
You know what? You guys just play your own schedule, play whoever you want. It's not going to matter.
I can't remember which classification it was, but there was one team in endurance racing where they just said, this championship is over. We're not doing this anymore, because they just keep winning.
Right. That's
we're gonna change. We're just gonna be done. We're done. We're closing up shop.
But that's the thing.
You win. You're perfect.
Like, UNB is going to win again this year, and all that's gonna stand in their way are three victims.
Yeah. Like, at some point, one of these other programs has to be like, we gotta build a monster to defeat them.
I don't know what you do to beat them. Like, they're just that good. So what can you say? But. Let's get to the women's side. The women's side has a little bit more drama in it, and we'll talk a little bit about that. But Canada West women's hockey, we'll start there, because, I mean, we know who's going to be playing in the Canada West final, and that's going to be the UBC Thunderbirds, and they'll be going up against the Alberta Pandas, which should surprise no one, because it seems to be Alberta versus somebody every year. But those two teams, top two teams, again, in Canada West, they'll figure out who's going to be the higher seed in Saskatoon. And we'll say that with an asterisk, because legitimately, whoever wins this Canada West final will go on. Whoever loses goes home.
Yep.
And the reason for that is because Saskatoon is hosting. They get one of the automatic berths. So Canada West only has one berth to be earned this year. So whoever wins gets that, and whoever doesn't.
When we get to talk about RSEC.
Oh, we're going to talk
gonna
about
have
the RSEC.
Thoughts.
We're talking about RSEC in a second.
How just why do they only get two?
UBC, well, do you want to know why? Because it's only 16. Anyway, UBC down Calgary to get to the semifinal, 2-1 in their series. Sean Rebassi leads with 2 goals, 2 assists, putting her 5th in playoff scoring. Elise Huggins was solid again for the T-Birds. She's 134 goals against average and 934 save percentage coming into that. Second place, Alberta, will look to knock UBC off their pedestal after finishing 5 points back of UBC in the regular season. Alberta needed 3 games to get by Mount Royal. There was not a lot of goals scored in that. Madison Willen leads the team with 2 goals, and she and Allison Reich have 2 points each, which lead the team. 4 more players for the Pandas do have points, though. Hallie Oswald, though, was outstanding. She led 3 goals over 3 games against Mount Royal, the defending national champions, for a 1.01 goals against average. She comes into the final with a 9.55 save percentage. Ridiculous.
God, that series is going to be a war.
Okay, so Alberta and UBC battled all season. There was a 4-game regular season schedule for them. 2-0-1-1 was what UBC ended up with. But Alberta scored more than 1 goal against UBC twice. That came back on September 29th and September 30th. The last time they met, Alberta only could manage 1 goal in each game.
Oh, my God.
So again, if you're looking for a very low scoring final, this might be it.
Yeah.
The catch in the series is that whoever wins will move on. Whoever doesn't will go home, and that sucks for whoever comes in as a finalist because you worked that hard to get nothing.
Yeah, exactly.
Sorry. So there's Canada West Women's Hockey. Before we go on, I'll jump to the award winners as well, just because we want to make sure we get that in there. And again, you can yay, nay, whatever you want to say on this. But Student Athlete Community Service winner was Jenna Merck from Regina, which a lot of people might have, holy smokes, what did she do to get it in terms of what she's done? She completed her Bachelor of Science in December of 2022 with a major in Chemistry and minor in Kinesiology. Since then, she's been working towards her Master of Science with a focus on Organic Synthetic Chemistry. Who is this woman? Merck's studies have included a considerable amount of lab work and teaching assistant duties while balancing student athlete commitments. However, here's what she's done as a commitment. Mm-hmm. She was assistant coach for 3 seasons of the Regina Rebels U15 AA team. She performed chemistry demonstrations at local elementary schools, organized on-campus events, and served as U of R's student athlete council. She also coached the weekly Cougars Cubs program where minor hockey kids came in and learned hockey from the Cougars. Jenna was one of the better players for Regina this year. I'm glad that she got recognized for that. That's fantastic.
That's incredible.
Yeah, good for her. We'll go to the next award, which was Coach of the Year. I don't think anybody should be surprised by this, but Scott Rivett of the Mount Royal Cougars won it.
Mm-hmm.
Scott's done a fantastic job every single year. Obviously, he coached the Cougars to another 20-win season there this year, 27-1. 27-1, I should make that clear. But again, just an incredible season as they scored 77 while allowing just 52 goals against, and obviously he's coming off that national championship mm-hmm. win. So Scott Rivett getting maybe a late honor after Canada West gave that to him, but good on him for winning that in terms of getting that. So along the way, here's a couple others that we they have the student athlete community service, or excuse me, the sportsmanship and athletic ability that went to Sophie Lawler of Saskatchewan. People are going to go, okay, well, what happened there? 12 goals, 10 assists. She helped Saskatchewan to a 19-7-1-1 record. Just 8 penalty minutes all season long.
Jeez.
So congratulations to her for doing that. So again, like the Lady Bing Award in terms of what's going on there. For goaltender of the year, I'm going to save that because that's going to come with another award apparently. Rookie of the year, was Jalen Morris from UBC. Jalen had an outstanding year as well, as she legitimately lit up a lot of people's scoreboards at that point. She was the conference's rookie leading scorer with 16 points in 23 games. Her 16 points also stands as the fourth highest total by any Canada West Blue Liner this season, so good for her. She legitimately had just 12 penalty minutes as well, so she's just the second Thunderbird ever to be named the conference rookie of the year.
Wild.
I'm surprised by that, but good for her. The the defenseman of the year, I don't think, or defender of the year, I hate defenseman. Defender of the year, Emma Bergeson from Mount Royal. I don't think this needs to be any surprise.
We don't need to litigate this.
Right. I mean, second year in a row she's won this, and legitimately she was outstanding. 22 points in 28 games, including 7 goals. She led the conference in scoring by a defender. 6 of those goals came on the power play. She led all conference defenders in both power play goals and points. Her 12 power play points were key in helping the Cougars to a 23.8% power play percentage as well.
Incredible.
So just unstoppable in terms of how she played the game. Top forward went to Mackenzie Kordick, which shouldn't surprise anybody because she ended up winning the Canada West scoring race as a top scorer as well. She had 36 points as the conference's leading scorer. It was the highest single season point total in 5 years, and the fourth year T-Bird also led Canada West in goals with 15 and an assist with 21. She played all 28 regular season games, and she had multi-point games on 12 occasions. So awesome. Pretty awesome by that. And then we'll get to the final two awards because they went to the same player. Goaltender of the Year and Player of the Year went to Saskatchewan's Cameron Drever, which people are going to go, wait a minute, like they ended up in fourth. But here's the thing. And I made a case for Drever a few weeks back on my blog. She legitimately was named Canada West Player of the Year and Goaltender of the Year. She led the nation with an unheard of 954 save percentage, and she won 15 of her 23 starts, recording 5 shutouts in the process. She also recorded a sparkling 133 goals against average, the third lowest mark in the conference. Again, her leadership and her work ethic, no surprise on that. She's technically flawless in terms of the way she played the game. Mm. But again, she legitimately, in terms of keeping Saskatchewan in games, she had a large part in that.
Clearly, much more thought went into that award.
I'm not going to say it doesn't, but again, she won both the Canada West Player of the Year and Canada West Goaltender of the Year. So congratulations to Cameron Drever in terms of getting that. She will play in Nationals coming up, obviously, as the host team. So there's your update from Canada West in terms of what's going on there. Now let's get to the other conferences because this is going to be important. The OUA women's hockey side, again, two distinct divisions. There's an OUA East and an OUA West, but for some reason that's unique to the OUA women's hockey setup, there's a crossover between the two divisions. And I don't know why. There's no explanation for it. And the crossover makes zero sense. Here's why. In the first semifinal, the upstart and surprising York Lions are playing the Waterloo Warriors in an unranked matchup between two teams. York defeated Waterloo yesterday, last night, in their game. York won their third straight playoff game by a 3-2 score after having swept the number 7 ranked Nipissing Lakers out of the playoffs.
Oof.
Swept them out of the playoffs.
Yeah.
Won 1-0 in overtime, 6-1 on home ice. So York's leading the way. They're doing all right in terms of getting everything going. Waterloo advanced with a sweep over the Laurier Golden Hawks, and York, as mentioned, swept Nipissing in terms of getting everything going there. Waterloo's Leah Herford, and Tatum James are tied for the OUA playoff scoring with 4 points apiece, along with one other player. Herford's two goals also lead the way for Waterloo. York is a trio of 3-point players in Jillian Milligan. That's a tongue twister. Jillian Milligan, Caitlin Teixeira, and Nicole York. So Milligan and Teixeira have 2 goals apiece as well. Waterloo's Kara Mark has allowed 7 goals in 3 games for a .231 goals against average and a .920 save percentage. Emma Wedgwood has been the story of the playoffs for York. She has posted a 3-0-0 record with a .93 goals against average and a .975 save percentage.
Oh.
And she's not the best goaltender in the conference. She's second place in both of those.
Yeah.
Because we have one other to talk about.
Yep.
Here's the catch, though. York went 2-0 against Waterloo this season, outscoring him 8-4 in the process. Those games did take place in November, but York is now 2-0 this season at Waterloo, including last night's playoff win. So not a good record for Waterloo if they're looking to move on. Mm-hmm. York is 1 win away from going to Nationals after an 8-win season.
Which is incredible.
it's
like
ridiculous.
An incredible turnaround.
It's ridiculous. That's insane.
What did they do?
I don't know. That's the thing. Like, what happened? So credit to York. Credit to their players and their staff for getting that ready.
And they're unranked.
Well, you won 8 games all season. You're not going to be ranked.
I don't know. With the way that the esports hockey rankings work.
Oh, that's a whole different story. We could spend three shows on that crap. But in the other semifinal, here's where things get wacky again. The number 3 ranked Guelph Griffins are playing the number 8 ranked Toronto Varsity Blues. So we go from an unranked semifinal to a ranked semifinal, and one of the top 10 teams won't go to Nationals.
Yeah.
The Griffins jumped out to a 1-0 lead after last night's 1-0 victory over Toronto. Series will also determine who advances to the Macaw Cup, obviously, and go to Nationals. Game 2 goes in Toronto tomorrow night at 7 p.m., so keep an eye on that as the OUA TV is free. Mm-hmm. You can watch that if you want to take a look at that. Toronto advanced in a 3-game win over the Queens Golden Gales to the semifinal. Guelph swept Windsor to get to the semifinal. Toronto has a pile of players at 3 points as the lead team as they all lead the team in scoring. Guelph's Hannah Tate leads the Griffins in scoring, though. She has 3 goals and 1 assist for 4 points. Both Brielle Caruso and Jamie McGoffin for Guelph have 3 helpers each in their setup. Toronto's Erica Fryer owns a .138 goals against average and a .942 save percentage. Toronto's got some pretty good net mining. Erica Fryer has been there before. The only problem, though, is they ran into Guelph's Martina Nadal. She has yet to surrender a goal in 3 playoff games.
Incredible.
She has a .100 save percentage and a .000 goals against average in 3 games, 3 shutouts.
I'm getting flashbacks to PEI.
Yeah. Like, this is nuts in terms of how well she's playing.
Are we going to see some red and gold celebrating on the ice?
Again, we were talking about this before the show. Martina Nadal is an Italian-born goalie.
Yeah.
She legitimately could 10 net for Italy in the upcoming Olympics.
And you get to see her here.
And you're watching her on Canadian ice, doing her thing. This is fantastic.
This is why.
Again, Emma Birkesson for Norway.
Yeah.
Like,
this is why teams need to start recruiting international players. They're really good. Don't have the opportunities to play where they are.
Right. Get your heads in the game here, folks. Like, let's go. Guelph won the 2-game series between Toronto, 1-0-1 on the record. The series was low scoring as well. It was a 2-1 shootout game and a 1-0 win for Guelph. 2-1 shootout loss and a 1-0 win. So series probably will be low scoring. As seen with game 1, it was a 1-0 game as well. So If you're asking me, I think Guelph wins that series between Toronto. Yeah. If you're asking me, I think York wins that series, and I think Guelph and York will advance to Nationals.
When was the last time we had an unranked team at Nationals? Was it UPEI?
PEI, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
But that does that count because they were hosting? Do we really count that?
Yeah.
When was the last time we had a team that...
Mount Royal would have been in last year for the unranked.
They were unranked?
Well, yeah, because they went into the eighth seed,
oh,
remember?
Oh, yeah, they did.
Or the seventh seed or whatever they were.
Oh, that was stupid.
So they got in because of the eighth.
So stupid.
Because
of the weirdness with the ranking algorithm, whatever.
Right. Yeah.
For some reason, a team that could tear people apart and had been to Nationals before.
And had torn a team apart in Toronto, which they did again last year.
Yeah.
Whatever, we don't make these things up. Now again, there is a fourth division in women's hockey. RSEC has their own. It's the Quebec, basically the Quebec division. Here's where things get a little weird now.
Yep.
If you want drama, folks, we've got drama for you. The defending U Sports silver medalist from last year in the Concordia Stingers will be back. They're going to try and add a third medal in as many years because they finally beat the Ottawa GGs in three games. I say that because Concordia went 25-0 in the regular season, beat Ottawa in game 1-5-1 before dropping a game in Ottawa by a 2-1 score.
Oof.
So their perfect season is over, however they're still in it. They ended up, and I'm just going to say this as nicely as I can, don't wake the sleeping beast, don't wake the sleeping bear. Did you see the final score in game 3?
No.
Okay, so again, they won 5-1 in game 1. They lost 2-1 in Ottawa.
Okay.
And at that point, somebody poked the bear with a sharp stick. Because Concordia came back to Montreal, invited Ottawa into their den, and laid a 13-0 blowout on them.
Holy jeez!
It was 8-0 with 10 minutes to go in the second period.
They just kept adding.
13-0. Again, I'm not saying that Concordia is not good. They've been ranked number one all season.
Someone's going to look at them wrong at Nationals, and they're just going to get their head ripped off.
13-0, though. Like again, 5-1, 6-1, 7-1, 13-0. And it was 8-0 by the time 30 minutes had been played.
I'm calling it now. Calling it now. On the men's side, UQTR UNB final. It's going to be a Guelph Concordia final.
Well, again, we got some other teams to go through here. Montreal got by Bishops to book their tickets to Saskatoon as well. So Montreal's going back to the dance. Mm-hmm. Whether they should be there, though, is a big question because Bishops took game 1 by 1-0 score. And then Montreal came back and beat them 4-1 on their home ice. They went back to Sherbrooke to play the final game in game 3. And Montreal won 2-1 after 87 minutes of hockey. Beat them in overtime, double overtime. The drama, though, came in that final sequence, though, in double overtime. Is the teams had been whistled each for a penalty, meaning they were playing 3-on-3. They normally play 4-on-4, but they were playing 3-on-3. As Montreal entered the zone prior to LeHoux's game-winning goal, the video broadcast of the game caught a fourth Montreal player jumping onto the ice. Her skates landed on the ice. She turned around and she hopped off the ice. Should be an immediate too many players call.
Yeah.
Nothing was called. LeHoux scored. Montreal went on. Bishops was absolutely beside themselves. And when the referee skated center ice and talked with the Bishops player, she legitimately just collapsed on the ice, like onto her hands and knees, like she was bawling. How do four officials miss a too many players call as the team is coming into the offensive zone?
Like, where's that back official looking?
Where are all four of them looking? The lines person is right there.
Yeah. Can't linesmen call too many men?
Yes, they can. All four officials missed it.
Oh, my God. Yeah, they would be standing right there.
They were crossing the blue line, just inside the blue line, and the girl jumped over the board.
And they had possession, so it would have been an instant call.
Instant.
Just a
huge blunder in that series. And I feel bad for Bishops. They were looking for their first ever Nationals appearance, obviously. Yeah. Their first ever appearance in the RSEC final as well.
Yep.
And they're not going now. So, Concordia and Montreal will be back again for like the 15th year in a row they've been there, like whatever, like no big deal, but
yeah, they get to save on gas and aren't going to travel very far.
No, they will, because they're coming to Saskatoon, but
oh yeah,
they can come together now.
No, I was talking about each like playing each other.
Oh, playing each other in the final. Yeah, that won't really matter. It'll just be walk down the street sort of idea.
Yeah.
AUS women's hockey, we're gonna make this quick. Out in the AUS, both semifinals are still running. I guess they're not running. I was going to say UNB. I'll start with UNB. They held a 2-0 series lead over St. Mary's. Huskies were ranked number 10. UNB was ranked number 9. So another ranked team not going to Nationals. Huskies were in must-win mode. Excuse me. They ended up beating UNB on Jillian Duggan's double overtime marker in Game 3. However, the Reds would finish them off in Game 4, and they now await the winner of the other series as they are booking their hotels in Nationals as well as one of the finalists. In the other semifinals, St. FX and St. Thomas, and I know you want to talk about this because you saw this. The St. FX women and St. Thomas Tommies were tied at 1-1 entering action on Sunday, and the Tommies got a gift of a Katerina Pelowicz penalty shot in overtime to help the ex-women help the Tommies take the 2-1 lead. She ended up scoring on that penalty shot. I don't know if you want to discuss that now or you want to discuss that after I update the next part, because St. FX won Game 4 to push the game to 2-2. Game 5 is happening right now. Mm-hmm. Right now as we're talking, it's on AUS TV.
Yeah.
So we'll know who's going to be the other representative of the AUS by the end of tonight. However, that penalty shot, Jason, you watched the video. Thoughts?
How does body contact at the hash marks count as a breakaway leading to a penalty shot?
Okay, but here's the thing, and we talked about this as well.
There's two issues at play here.
Right. But we talked about this for the first part. Okay, so it's a penalty. We'll give you the credit for the penalty.
Fine. Sure.
It's a 2-minute penalty. St. Thomas didn't, again, the referee didn't make any motion towards center ice.
No.
So no motion made, no nothing towards being a penalty shot. So St. Thomas, being outshot in that game like 40-something to 19, said, you know what, we're going to call our timeout and get our power play set up here. We want to win this.
Yep.
Calls their timeout, takes their 30-second timeout, draws up a play for the power play in terms of getting things going, and power play, or the timeout expires, power play unit comes onto the ice. Referee goes, no, back to your benches. We're going to send your player out for the penalty shot. How do you let a team take a timeout and then call a penalty shot?
Like, what did you think? That they were going to go and, like, review some film to see where the goalie's weak spot is? Like,
but, like, you call it immediately or you don't call it.
Yeah. There was no, because I'm trying to remember what the gesture, because she made, like, a sweeping gesture that looked kind of like a tripping call.
It looked like a tripping call, yeah.
Yeah. Had her hand up, made the call, whatever. The referee was below the hash, or below the goal line, which tells you how far back this play happened.
I'll tell you right now.
St. Thomas the zone with a player in front of them.
We're midway through the second period. St. FX has a 2-0 lead right now over St. Thomas. So, if everything holds the way it does, St. FX will go back to Nationals this year. And rightfully so. They probably, that overtime game probably should have never happened, which forced the next two games for St. FX to win. This may battle harden them a little bit in terms of getting them ready for Nationals. So.
But it's just a brutal call. Brutal call.
Again, I am shocked by it. I don't want to ever talk about it again because it is such a bad call. Like, it's such a bad call. And I mean, we saw the bad call with the Bishops Montreal where four people missed a call.
Yeah.
This one was somebody looking right at it.
Yeah. It's like you're about to back up into the backboards and you're still calling it a penalty shot when they're down at the hash marks, and then you let them take a full timeout in overtime.
But the defender was positioned in front of the player in order to make that trip.
Yeah.
Like, that's the thing. There's no way that
she wasn't trailing.
No, there is no way that this player got even a step around the defender.
No.
And then there was still another defender standing in front of the net.
Yes.
Like,
I don't know what this is. Like, that's not a penalty shot.
Anyway.
It's not a breakaway.
Anyway, St. FX has a 2-goal lead right now. They have 31 minutes to go in terms of trying to wrap up their semifinal series against St. Thomas. But it looks like if everything holds the way it does, St. FX will be going with the UNB Reds out to Saskatoon as well. Ooh. So the only series that we don't know the two series, I guess, that we don't know where teams are coming from so far, Canada West, which will be decided this weekend, and then by next week, we'll know who's playing from the OUA as the two Macaw Cup finalists will have been decided at that point. So there's your women's update in terms of what's going on as well. So a lot of questions, a lot of sort of what do we do, who do we send, what's going on here. But I'm excited. I think all the teams that are going, aside from the UNB Reds, who look like a juggernaut. I think all the teams that are going are fairly competitive with one another. I don't know if there's really an odds-on favorite to win other than the Reds, who are going to come out of that Toronto men's national and probably not been like, okay, who's next?
It's basically like, can David kill Goliath?
And I'm only going to ask this because if I'm Gardner McDougal and I'm in Toronto, I might want to ask this. Can we play the Leafs?
At that point, yeah.
Can we play the Marlies? Can
like,
we play,
Is Nationals only being held in Toronto so they can have his Hall of Fame induction at the same time?
Right. Let's do this all at once here. Let's have some fun with this. But,
exactly.
I mean, it's going to be an outstanding tournament for the men. For the women, I'm just excited about, again, taking the show out there on going to be out there on the 14th, March 14th. You will hear a show that I've recorded out there anyway. Jason's not going to be there, but I know, Jay, you've got a new, I'm going to give you a chance here to do a little self-promotion. I know you got another event coming up. I saw it on your setup. So Jay, a little self-promotion.
Yes. On March 22nd, I will be in Toronto as well. Doing a book signing at Baca Phoenix Books.
That's a week after Nationals.
Yeah, I know.
You should have told them, send me out there a week earlier.
Exactly. Just like, I got other things to do while I'm out there. But yes, I will be in Toronto signing books, and it's going to be a lot of fun. I am very, very excited.
I'm excited for you. Congratulations on that. That's fantastic. So again, if you can't make it to Saskatoon or Toronto between March 14th and 17th, the games will be presented on CBC Sports on their digital platforms of CBC Gem, cbcsports.ca, and CBC Sports app. Again, we're going to go out there on the 14th. We're going to produce a show from there in terms of having a little bit of fun with that. So that'll be a little bit of fun. Best way, again, if you can get out there to Saskatoon is to get out there, get tickets through the Saskatchewan Huskies website. I believe TMU is offering tickets through their website as well for the men's side if you're going to go out to Toronto. But get yourself a place to watch anyway, whether it's at home, whether it's in front of your computer, whatever you're going to do. March 14th to 17th for the men's and women's national U Sports National Hockey Championships. So,
and if you want to stay an extra week, if you're in Toronto,
you can get a book.
You might meet me.
Get a book and meet Jay. That's all right, too. There you go. See? Before we get out of here, Jay, anything you want to say before we welcome Skippy and Free Range Radio in, because he's next on the playlist here?
I would say just tune into these last few games. They're going to be fantastic.
Yeah, there's going to be a lot of good hockey played. Again, if you can, watch the OUA ones for sure. They're for free. Don't spend the money if you don't have to, folks. Yeah. I mean, I know that we support U Sports, but honestly, the cost of those one game playoff, like, it's $8 to watch one semifinal game.
Yeah, that's not.
I mean, unless you're giving me the ticket to get into the crowd, I don't want to spend $8 to watch it on TV. So, so again, watch the OUA ones if you can, folks. But again, get to your computer, get CBC on there, and certainly watch a little bit on the national championship. That's for sure. As we get out of here again with a little bit of some Hotel Mira. Jason, been another good show. We'll come back for next week. We'll get everything going again for that. Anything you want to say before we leave?
Just have a great weekend, everybody.
Yeah, if everybody wants to have a good time with it, weather's going to be up and down all weekend. So enjoy it when you can get out there, because it could be crazy out there for you. That, folks, we're out of here. Until next week, have a good one. See you next week here on The Hockey Show.
Now, boys, how about a little dinner music? Nowadays, people tend to look over the real art of DJing.
You are tuned in to CJUM FM. Here we are, 101.5.